in the name of Jesus and speak. We're going to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, at least the last chapter of the book. In this chapter, you find that Paul actually gave command to the church. So he commanded the church what he should do in view of the son of petition. And also he gave the commands to put in place an order within the church. Especially we find that in the church in those days there were people who were idle, who did not work. And this point Paul says that those who do not work, should not eat. So we're going to go through the book. First look at verse 1 and verse 2. Now, verse 1 and verse 2, form a prayer request from Paul by asking the believers in Thessalonica to pray for them so that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. So we find that the expansion of the church and the propagation of the word of God is directly linked to the concerted effort of the believers in offering prayers to God. And I also believe in this, for our work today to expand, for the name of God to be glorified, requires the whole church, and in fact all the brothers and sisters, to intercede for us continuously. Now, there is another reason why Paul asked the church to pray for him, if you look at verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. So he asking for prayer so that he would not be harmed by this unreasonable and wicked men. Now the question is, who were these people? And judging from my version, it seems that these people were those who did not really have faith. Right? That's why we find that even within the community of faith, if a person loses the word of God or loses the faith that he has in the Lord, and you find that he is no longer under the regulation of the truth. And for that reason, the evil will begin to spring from within the heart. Right? We can see that these people were against the workers of God. That's why Paul prayed that they can be delivered. Right? Now, look at the second section from verse 3. To verse 4. Verse 3 to verse 5. Here it's like Paul is praying to God and asking the Lord to establish them and to guard them from the evil one. Here we can see the relationship between being established and guarding against from the evil one. Right? For our faith to grow, require us to flee from the wicked one. Right? Now, if you use verse 3 as the key verse in this section, then we begin to ask, how can a person be established? Or how can a person be guarded from the evil one? Now, I think here, Paul mentioned quite a few things that we need to look into very carefully. Yeah? Okay. First, Paul says that they must do all the things that the apostle commanded them. Okay. Now, we ask, what are these things that the apostle had told them to do? Now, I think previously when you read chapter 2, there are two sets of preaching. There are two types of epistles being written in chapter 2. Now, if you look at chapter 2, verse 2 first, here Paul encouraged the church not to be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter. Obviously, you know, this came from people who have wandered away from the faith. Now, if you look at chapter 2, verse 15, here is another set of letter or words or epistle. We call that the apostolic traditions. Here he says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which you were taught, whether by word or or our epistle. So it's quite clear in the church here, like, you know, two distinct types of belief here. And one is the traditional belief, which the apostle taught them, and the other one was propagated, perpetrated, you know, by the son of perdition and those who have wandered away from the faith. And that's why Paul was very concerned about this. So he said to the believers, he actually commanded them, it's a very strong word, that they must what? Do all the things that, you know, the apostles have shown them. Right? Now, in this way, you find that the Lord will guard, you know, them from the evil one. This is how the Lord, you know, can guard us from the evil one. First, you need to hold on to the belief that you have. Right? Meaning, you allow no room for the wicked one to work in your midst. Right? Now, basically, when the word is upheld, you find that, you know, the wicked one could not do anything about it. Because all of us are united in the truth and in the faith. Right? Now, if you look at verse 5, it says, now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Now, what is this? What is this heart into the love of God? What is the love of God? Right? Now, or how can we love the Lord? Now, I think in chapter 2 again, here it talks about the love for the truth. Right? Today, if we say we love God, then we must love the truth. Only by loving the truth, then we can put the truth into good practice. Right? We cannot love God without the truth. Right? So, that's why Paul says, he pleaded to the Lord to direct their hearts into the love of God. Meaning, first, they must develop this love for the truth of God. Right? And also, here he says, into the patience of Christ. And this is like a repeat in chapter 1. If you turn to chapter 1, we look at verse 4. So that we ourselves also are you amongst the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that you endure. Right? Now, obviously, the Bible here does not talk about exactly what kind of persecution they encountered in those days. Now, I think judging from the first book of Thessalonians, we assume that they could have been persecuted because of their faith. Right? Now, also, when you look at the Acts of the Apostles, you know, chapter 17, Paul was there for only a couple of weeks. And after that, you know, persecution arose, and Paul had to flee. Right? And obviously, the church, the young church, was under you know, severe persecution. Right? And it also could be that, you know, this persecution came from those who tried to preach another gospel, according to chapter 2. You find that for a person to be established, to guard against the evil one, you know, he Their hearts must develop this love for the truth, meaning they must not be shaken, they must not be troubled in their mind, and most crucially, to find that they must be able to endure. This is where spiritual cultivation comes into play. You know, sometimes this is unavoidable. When persecution arises, then if our spiritual cultivation is good, and then we can resist temptation, and we can keep ourselves in the Lord, and you'll find that the peace of God will rule in our hearts. Right? Okay, we look at verse 6 onwards. Verse 6 then. once again, we find that Paul used the word command. Right? It's the second time in the chapter, and he uses the word command. Okay? We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. Right? I always feel that in those days, to find that they put in place proper order in the church to make it very clear, what kind of belief should be accepted and what kind of belief should not be accepted. And also, the church put in place proper order to tell the believers what they should do and what they should not do. Right? Now, so here we find that the church actually has the authority, to direct the believers. And the church also has the authority to put in place disciplinary actions. If you read on, you find that Paul says, verse 14, we can read verse 14. And if anyone does not obey our words in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. I think this is very essential in the church. Basically, on the one hand, to help this person to change, hopefully, God will grant him repentance. And on the other hand, this is the way to surface what is, the truth of God, and what is right and what is wrong. And you find that if this is not put in place, then the church will be in total confusion. Because many of the members or believers may not be able to distinguish what is right and what is wrong. Right? Now, the church has the authority to do so. If what is wrong, we have to point it out. And what is right, we also have to encourage the church to continue to do. Right? And so this is the apostolic authority that I believe that the church today needs to pray for so that the church can be vested with this authority and power. Right? To make it So we see the apostle made it very clear. This is right and this is wrong. Anyone who does not do this, then, especially with the matters pertaining to the truth, then he should be disciplined. Right? Now, you find that in the pastoral epistles of Paul, many a time he spelled out this disciplinary action very clearly. Right? And this is for the good of the church. Now, that's why when you read chapter 3, the tone of Paul is that he commands, right? He commanded them to do this, he commanded them to do that, right? Because if the church does not have this order in place, then you know that it will be difficult, very difficult, right? Now, we look at verse 10, for example. I think this is the third time that he used the word command. Okay, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone do not work, neither shall he eat. Very clear commands given to the church. Now, likewise, when you look at verse 12, it's the fourth time that he used the word command. And here he says, now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in kindness and eat their own bread. Right? You find that the church must have this authority from God, right? To command the believers to do what is right and and to abstain from doing what is unacceptable. Right? So disciplinary actions must be put in place, especially, you know, in times of confusion, when the traditions of the apostle were not upheld. Okay? So Paul wrote to the church to tell them, you know, to follow his instruction. Okay, now we read on from verse 7. For you yourself know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. Now, the main point here, Paul is saying, you know, it's like before this command or this order is put in place in the church, yeah, find that the apostles themselves actually were a very good example to the church. Right? In terms of keeping the truth, in terms of conducting themselves within the community of faith, they have shown a very good example for the church to follow. And because they have these good actions and good practice, that's why when they issue the commands to the church, you find that the church will follow, right? And because they themselves have kept the word of God, and that's why when they are put in place, the order to discipline those who do not follow the truth, you find that this order becomes very powerful. It's like an anchor that stabilizes the church. Right? Now, verse 8 to verse 13, again, basically is to discipline those who are idle within the church. Paul says these people are like busybodies, you know, they did not work, but, you know, they conducted themselves in such a way that, you know, they caused a lot of confusion within the community of faith. And in fact, such people must be disciplined, must be reminded, you know, that they must behave, you know, properly within. Okay, now let's look at verse 15, and we already mentioned verse 14. Now we look at verse 15. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Right? Now, you find that when a disciplinary action is taken against an individual within the community of faith because of his disobedience, but here Paul says we must not count him as an enemy. I think this is a very mild form of disciplinary action. Right? Now, I think in other cases, like in 2 Timothy, Paul says that in this kind of people, you can only pray for them, right? Hoping that God will grant them repentance. Right? Now, we can take a look at 2 Timothy. We look at chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we read verse 24 to verse 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 to 26. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. He would teach patient, verse 25. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Verse 26, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. I think in comparison, we realize that this case here is probably much more serious than the one mentioned in 2 Thessalonians. Right? So Paul says, in carrying out the work of corrections, you know, spiritual cultivation, it must not be ignored. Right? Now, so in our heart, we obviously hope that, you know, these people will be granted repentance. Right? Now, and again, this is the work of God. Only God can do that. Right? Now, the other thing, in verse 26, it tells us something which is hidden from us. It's something spiritual. You find that people who oppose, you know, the way of the Lord simply because and they have been taken captive by the wicked one. So we find that there is a force behind, right, that drives the person to do the thing that he does, right? Now, so in the case of 2 Thessalonians, Paul says we must not consider them as enemy, rather we admonish them as brother. So in conclusion, we need to understand that the church actually has the authority. So sometimes we find that when the church commands or when the church instructs us to do what is right, then we should learn to follow. And this is being submissive, and this is being God-fearing in the eyes of the Lord. But now we need to understand that whatever the church does is, I believe, in most cases, is for our own good. Yeah. It's for our building up of our faith. And that's why we must learn as believers, we must learn to submit to the authority of God. Now, otherwise, Paul would not have used the word command so strongly and to tell the church that they must follow the apostolic tradition. So quite clearly, we find that there are sets of traditions that the church has put in place, and there are also orders that the church has put in place for the proper functioning of the church and also for the growth of the church. So we hope that in the course of learning how to serve the Lord, we must also learn how to submit to the authority of the church. And now we are going to pray. And we pray for the remaining 2 days. Pray that God to direct and continue.